Blog Talk Radio.
He is the host with the most, and he's rocking coast to coast smooth. She is the lady with her hands.
Where in the hell did you get your news from?
Drama.
Together you got
smooth drama.
All right, welcome back to Smooth Drama with your host, Mr. F the N-Word. Want you to holler at me, 347-826-7435 is the call-in number. Once again, that call-in number is 347-826-7435. And if you can't call me, email a brother, smoothdrama@smoothdrama.com. I got you. Questions, comments, concerns, I am here for you. If you're on Facebook, you do the social media thing, you can always go to our Facebook page, the Smooth Drama page, ask to be my friend, and I will friend you back. It's been beautiful. I've been friend requested quite a bit lately. I'm feeling kind of popular, even though half y'all don't say nothing to me. You just like post like porn on my page. I don't know how to feel about that, but anyway, just Google Smooth Drama wherever, whenever, however you find Smooth Drama. Add me and I'll add you back, and we can talk a taste on it, because I'm that kind of guy. Not that kind of guy like LL Cool J was, but along the lines. Anyway, I'm glad you survived. If you're listening, you survived Black Friday and the whole Christmas holiday weekend. I mean, it's a very, very dangerous time. I mean, Thanksgiving, I saw all the different shootouts. And obviously, you have these stores that are opening way earlier. They're opening on Thanksgiving now, so it's more of an opportunity for y'all to kill each other. I saw some folks died over a parking spot, which was sad and unfortunate. And at a football game for some kids, the folks shot that up. I mean, I've always said and will continue to say this is the worst time of the year. It's like, whoo, I am honestly afraid to go anywhere this time of the year, because y'all go crazy over your Christmas love. You want to get that Jesus in your life and want to get Christmas gifts, and y'all In the name of that love, boy, woo, y'all off the chain. Y'all off the chain in the name of love. But keep stepping in the name of love. I'm gonna R. Kelly on it. I'm just gonna piss on that whole idea. But I'm not gonna go there. I don't wanna talk piss. I do want to talk about Kim Kardashian. I hate talking about Kim Kardashian, but I'm talking about it anyway. I saw that they're talking about how she's overwhelmed. She's worried about her kids around Kanye. He's still hospitalized and under heavy medical supervision. I'm just saying. Death wish pussy. That LSD in the pussy. It, you know, her being overwhelmed. It's like, I wonder, does she sit around, and maybe her and her sister, they sit around. Maybe they talk about it. Maybe they don't. I don't know. Like, dang, every dude that we've gave some ass to go crazy. So, I mean, it's like, oh my God, I'm so overwhelmed. Oh no, what's going to happen? Oh, nobody's checking for us on TV no more. So, in my LSD pussy is ruining another man. What do I do? Who's next? Who can I mess up next? I'm like, maybe there's some dudes that's, I mean, obviously, there's people who still lust after them. But I'm just saying, as a guy, and I'm curious, the guy listeners out there, like, yo, the dudes who get Kardashian pussy go crazy. It's no good for you anymore. Do you really want to hit that? I mean, I don't know. Maybe it's me. Maybe I'm thinking differently. But I would look at it like, well, damn, every dude done went crazy. They all lost their mind or they lost their mojo. Why would I want to be a part of that legacy? Here's a question I'm wondering. Hey, hit the brother up, 347-826-7435. Explain to me why you would want to hit Kim Kardashian. Or email me, smoothdrama@smoothdrama.com. Somebody tell me why there's a fascination with these broads who drive men to drugs and to the hospital, the crazy house. I'm just, they make dudes can't play ball no more. I mean, it's like, suck all your energy out, pussy. I'm just saying. It's something that's been happening. And I'm just curious to why. I don't know. I mean, it's sort of like these people out here who have been going crazy ever since Donald Trump been elected. You know, you saw the dude on the airplane. If you didn't see him, Delta kicked him off the airplane. He can't fly Delta anymore. This dude got on there like, I voted for Trump. Woo! It's the craziest phenomenon ever. But, you know, it's not that ludicrous because, you know, white people are happy and energized. Like, racist white people are happy and energized. Like, yeah, we get to go back to the days where we can spit in y'all face and y'all can't look at us. Which we, of course, know, no, not really. I mean, I do my push-ups and I do my curls. As a matter of fact, I'm going to do some curls on the break. Just because I talked about this, like, I'm ready. I'm ready to throw my left-right combination at the first person that says something stupid. But I'm digressing. But I'm actually not, because I read something, you know, of the 900 incidents. I read 901. And it is hilarious. You know, I'm lactose, right? So I don't understand the dairy thing. I mean, I understand it. You know, I guess cheese is delicious. I like lactose-free cheese. So I'm not hating on cheese. I'm just saying cheese is not my friend. And a lot of black people don't like, I mean, they like cheese, but they don't like cheese like, you know, man, and I'm sounding like one of these comedians from the 80s and 90s. White people love cheese. I mean, like, eating cheese. And you know, it's nothing. I mean, hey, if I wasn't lactose, I probably would have cheese on everything, too. But they love cheese like, I can eat cheese by itself in a block. I always heard that cheese was constipation waiting to happen for a lot of people. So I don't understand the whole constipation thing. But yeah, cheese. I bring cheese up because CVS had to apologize after employees called the cops on the black on black men asking to buy cheese. Now I know for some white people it may be a shock that there are some black people who actually like cheese. And I mean they want sliced cheese. Minimal to white people. There are some black people who actually like cheese. Like Ricky Berry and his roommate Philip Blackwell. They walked into a CVS in Carytown, Virginia, looking for cheese. They asked an employee if the store had any, and she told them that the store didn't. Then later, the employees disappeared, and Barry and Blackmill are looking for the staff with another customer for more than like 30 minutes. Then the cops showed up, and Barry was like, "Yo, all I asked for was sliced cheese." Barry, who documented most of the incident, shared it on Snapchat that someone called the cops on them because they wanted to buy sliced cheese. Now, in fairness, no one died. And once again, I am standing by my previous comments about the racism under Donald Trump, the Trump regime, which is different, looking like it's going to be different from the Obama regime. The Obama regime, it was like black folks, and don't get me wrong, I know black folks are going to die. But, and you know, the racism is high, but it's like this. Under Obama, those dudes would have died. He wouldn't have been able to tweet and Snapchat anything. Ricky Berry and Philip Blackwell would have died unarmed because they wanted some cheese under Obama. I know Obama is still acting president right now, but it's just the racism has subsided substantially under the Trump regime. It's amazing. So even though it's ridiculous, yeah, black men asking for cheese, sliced cheese, and getting the police called on them is progress to me. It is real progress. I mean, another case in point, Jesse Grady, who walked into a Michael store last week to buy a Santa hat for her daughter. She ended up witnessing and filming a woman's attack on a black Michael's employee, claiming she was being discriminated against and declaring that she voted for Donald Trump. So the lady screaming, "And I voted for Trump!" So there, what you want to kick me out because of that? And look who won, and look who won, and look who won. It's like, really? Whoa! Now, think about this for a second. We don't know who you voted for and don't really care. We already knew America's race. Most of us did. That some didn't know. In their defense, they was singing that. They still were singing that Kumbaya for the past 8 years. Kumbaya, the world loved black people. I don't know what world they were living in. But, yeah, some folks had a problem with that. I mean, I don't know. kumbaya days are done. But the fact they're like, well, Donald Trump won. Like, yeah, okay. He won. Now, there are some folks that they're just bent out of shape. We know they're protesting and just everybody's bent out of shape behind Donald Trump. And I'm like, okay. But still, screaming it out. And Michael, look, it's the Christmas holiday. It's Black Friday. Hey, it's going down like this. Nobody's discriminating against you because you voted for Trump, because nobody knows that you voted for Trump and don't care. It's like you had it on our forehead. I voted for Trump, so I'm a racist. So now you can, and it's like, no. Nobody cares. It's Michael's. I mean, what was going on at Michael's? They didn't have what she was looking for. She was arguing over a reusable bag. And she's talking about, I don't know why you're videotaping me. I was just discriminated on by two Black women, and you being a white woman, you think that's okay? Woo! Oh, man. White people. Y'all are hilarious. Especially now. Just now, we're white for, white has a meaning now. It's like, okay. Message to white people, you were never losing. Y'all haven't taken any losses yet, but apparently you think you are, but you're not. Pimpology at its finest. I'm going on break. This is Immortal Technique. Reverse Pimpology. I let him say it.
I'd rather be rich and unhappy than broke and miserable. Cause the game don't give a fuck if you Liverpool. And that's pitiful. So my position is pivotal. You can hate me all you like, but you worship the principle. I inspire revolution, the government's not invincible. Vietnam to Venezuela, technology they pimping you. All up in the hood like McDonald's and liquor. Selling AIDS medicine when we know you got the cure, nigga. You leery of conspiracy theory, but hear me. From a business perspective, it makes more sense. Clearly, cause moreover, that's what we go to war over. And numbers don't lie unless we do push a core over. Free markets make money disingenuously. But I invest in agriculture, biochemistry. Smart nigga from the hood, pussy, what type of crime is that? But expect to like you from Harlem where your diamond is at.
I'm looking for the money or the fame. The players and the rules ain't changed. But see, we try to leave a name. So we're turning out.
This is how pimps, the players get played. Rich people get robbed and broke niggas paid. New York, London, Chicago, Philly, and LA. Miami, DC, be more and out
in the frame. We deserve to take that claim. If we didn't, it's a crying shame. But we're concerned about it. How to turn it out.
Show me a pretty girl with the world stuck to her. And I bet you there's a brother that's tired of fucking her. Lots of niggas, girls, and someone else's one night stand. I probably made some bitches nervous listening with they men. And if that offends somebody, I'm sorry. Fuck you. What you think? Revolutionaries don't like to fuck too. You just gotta beware a dangerous coochie. Cover your head like a coochie. Some rappers think that they live in a movie. Until they get herpes, a clap from a poopy. And I don't need to shout you out. Nigga, you know who you be. Look, those people are only players cause they got played. And have not let go of that shit since the seventh grade. Yeah, you got your heart broke. Life sucks, doesn't it? But you shouldn't fuck up someone else's life because of it. Someone did your mother like that. That's why you fatherless. Before jail or racist cops, that's what the problem is.
Who's the one to place that blame? We're getting trapped in a cycle of pain. With a generation headed down the drain. How we turn it out?
This is how pimps get pimped and players get played. Beautiful women getting cheated on and gangster sprayed. Jersey, Detroit, Denver, Phoenix, Atlanta, Texas, Vegas, Seattle, and West
Coast. You paid it.
and a shame, but can't offer your children a thing. What the hell is going on in your brain? We gon' get it out.
I'm not a crack rapper, I'm not a backpacker, I'm not a whack rapper, moonlighting as a bad actor. I treat labels like the project, cause I'm a hater. Go for the Sony building and piss in the elevator. Cater to hustlers, crooks and cheap smugglers. Bootleg my own album to reach customers. Every city, Satan, country, the hood loves me. Even Aborigines in Australia love me. Stay underground fans of all the color of talcum. Well, who the fuck you think 550 and J album? Who the fuck you think made Snoop and Dre platinum? Call up any major record label and ask them if there's some devils in disguise in hip hop that belong at Republican fundraisers with Kid Rock. I hope one of my fans has one of your kids shot and blames it on Advil, Prozac, and Slipknot. Pussy acting hard like a bitch cop. I'll drop you to the floor like a reverse wrist lock. Eat your food and shit on you like a highway pit stop. And make revolutionaries out of kids that used to flip rocks. The government, hip 9/11, to go to Iraq and history. Repeat yourself right on track. First add to tragedy. And if the comedy begins, why? Cause it's funny, motherfuckers don't see it come around again.
Can we be free?
Fuck
we freedom.
Reverse pimpology is definitely going on when white folks think they're losing. It's like the only white people that have ever been losing, who've never been winning, been poor white folks. I'm going to say it again and again and again. Y'all getting pimped hard. At least we know, at least most, well, I won't even say most. Black folks know on a subconscious level, and most of us who have wide open eyes know America hates us. We got that. You tolerate us. That's about it. Because, you know, I guess we bring labor to the table. Other than that, but poor white people, y'all still getting pimped to this day. Voting for billionaires. And I mean, like, they're like, yeah, Trump won. Yeah, we winning. We winning again. It's like you're not winning. You're not like winning like he's winning. He's winning because he's a billionaire and will continue to be rich. You know, everybody talks, oh, his bankruptcies and all that. I'm like, man, if I could go bankrupt and not have to pay my bills, I would go bankrupt like every month. Why not? Not having to pay your bills is a beautiful thing. Have you ever looked at how much you make and how much you pay out the bills? And then you can just say, well, you know what? I'm rich. I don't want to pay my bills. Bankruptcy. And I get to keep my money. That's the greatest deal ever. Why not? What is the drawback to not having to pay your bills and getting to keep your stuff, which is what these cats end up doing? But I'm digressing. 347-826-7435 is the call-in number. Once again, that call-in number is 347-826-7435. Now, I'd be remiss not to talk about Fidel Castro here for a second. Man, polarizing figure, obviously, but for me, it's real simple. He's a man that saw his people being oppressed. He raised, got his people organized, and fought for their freedom. Now, I know it's a gang of folks. Oh, he's a ruthless dictator. He was so awful in what they did to Cuba, and look what he did to Cuba. I'm like, let's look at Fidel Castro for a second. We're gonna look at him through the eyes of folks who actually matter. And when I say eyes that actually matter, I'm talking about just regular folks. I mean, Fidel Castro was accepting of people who were revolutionaries. Where did the Black Panthers who were on the run go? They went to Cuba. I mean, like Haiti, Cuba fought for their freedom. And their reward, nobody fucking with them. I mean, think about that for a second. Nobody want to trade with Cuba because they had the nerve to fight for their freedom. Not unlike here in the United States, you have oppression, which was the so-called Revolutionary War and the fight for freedom for all, blah, blah, blah. Y'all know. How we here in the United States just, hey, freedom or death, except for y'all. But I'm not going to go there. I'm saying Fidel Castro, freedom or death. You get blockaded by all the countries, all the quote-unquote democratic countries, because they had the nerve to, once again, fight for their freedom. Now, African nations, Fidel Castro was a friend. Liberation movement, Cuba was involved. And it wasn't no ideological stuff where you just step to the side and say, oh, well, you know, we support y'all. Good luck. They actually sent soldiers, doctors, and teachers. Now, of course, they were like, oh, well, you know, it's a power play. And because he wants to be with post-colonial Africa and they would be socialist, and it would fortify Cuba as a power led by the Soviet Union. But there is no Soviet Union. And it was just, hey, Fidel Castro was about helping people who wanted to fight for their freedom. Now, in the meantime, many of them African nations, they formed the non-aligned movement because they wanted to be out of the Crips and Blood Cold War that the U.S. and the Soviet Union were going through. Now, when you think about that for a second, non-aligned movement, meaning we didn't want to be a part of neither one of y'all's games. Castro was part of that. I mean, everybody knows the history. If you don't know the history, it's way too much. I mean, that's a whole show within itself, sitting up here talking about Castro. I mean, I'll just cast my lot with the guy who fought against the oppressors. When the oppressors are framing him and saying, oh, well, he's a dictator. Well, you know, he wasn't their dictator. As we know, there are capitalist dictators, and then there's the guys who aren't on their team. So they're dictators. And I heard all the people who were cheering in Miami that he was dead. Now everybody want to go back to Cuba. Everybody's trying to get into Cuba so they can do what they did before and make the Cuban people serfs. mean, sort of like Tijuana is, you go down there, take a dump, have a good time, and then come back, treat the people bad, steal all their resources, and get all the money by pimping them out, nationalizing their services, and making all the money, which is basically how everything has been in all these countries that democracy has propped up. Capitalism, capitalistic societies, capitalize on them and we do good here. So to me, when I see Fidel Castro and his legacy, hey, man fought for what he believed in. He fought to free his people. And he fought alongside his people. He put his life on the line. And he lived it. Great man. Not so great, though. Some of these dudes that Donald Trump is pushing. I mean, first, you know, he put up the white supremacy. Then he wanted to balance it. He offered Ben Carson the role of Housing and Urban Development Secretary. Now, mind you, Ben Carson was a neurosurgeon. And Ben Carson is like, nah, I'm good. He, mind you, he's got no background in housing policy. And he was like, you know, I don't think I'm qualified. It's Ben Carson. I don't think I'm qualified. There are more qualified people. But this is the dude you're offering the job for, urban development. So that way, when they're screwing black folks over, gentrification, whatnot, they say, hey, look, the guy in charge is Ben Carson. It's got nothing to do with us. It's his agenda. That's kind of what the setup is. But not that I'm going to sit up here and defend Ben Carson. Lord knows. Woo! That one, not going to happen. But we're rounding out. We're rounding out Trump's, you know, team, right? So we say he's got the white supremacist, and he's got the black white supremacist, Ben Carson, and now Jeff Sessions is a guy who is not fond of people with disabilities. You know, it's like, he's like, I want to make sure that I got the greatest hater. I mean, it's like that Dave Chappelle, the player haters ball. Is like Trump has stacked his whole cabinet full of haters. Jeff Sessions is most famous for doing the filibuster against the Individuals with Disabilities Education Act, arguing that federal protections for students with disabilities was the reason the U.S. public schools were failing. Like, hey, why are we giving the... And before I paraphrase, let me phrase what he said. And I quote Jeff Sessions. We have created a complex system of federal regulations and laws that have created lawsuit after lawsuit. Special treatment for certain children, and that are a big factor in accelerating the decline in civility and discipline in classrooms all over America. I say that very sincerely. Jeff Sessions, Republican out of Alabama. Now, I know. Helping kids with disability is a task. As someone who works with children, you start talking about working with children with disabilities, it's an act in patience, right? Because the normal education policies, tools that you use have to be modified to accommodate those who aren't quite on the level of everyone else. And it doesn't mean that they can't do it. It just takes them a tad bit longer. Different ways to reach them. But the fact that he's like, well, there's a decline in civility and discipline in classrooms because, hey, you want to help the slow people. You want to educate all kids. Come on. Why you need to educate them? I mean, because for them, he's probably one of them guys that owns a prison, got investments in the prison, and he's like Donald Trump does. So you're going to have more people to go to your jail. Why educate them when we can just have them go to jail and then they can work for us for like a cent a day? Just saying. Just your president. And I mean, for me, the fact we're talking about Donald Trump and you have folks like Donald Trump, and Donald Trump is so, and then you got the ignorant folks like Trump won. It's like Trump is one guy. He's feeding off this ignorance. Now, there's a theory, not that I subscribe to theories, conspiracy theories. Maybe I do, maybe I don't. But let's just say I don't. There's a theory that you create tensions, racial tensions, tensions across genders, tensions of all, everybody's just mad about something. And it's the reason to have martial law. And it's a reason to lock people up and have more free labor. You know, take folks' freedoms away, and you can make more money off of that. Because there's money in tyranny, surprisingly. Because you bring about tyranny and martial law and draconian laws, and you don't have to worry about servicing folks and taking care of people. Like, it's quote unquote built in American society. Just a thought. All this excess hate, people out there hollering and screaming about, you know, I mean, you got folks rioting against Trump. Hey, he got elected. Live with it. And then you got folks who are so happy that white people are important again, like they was actually unimportant. I don't know. I mean, not necessarily super important to me, but hey, I don't hate white people. I'm just saying those ignorant folks, you're not really all that important in screaming, Trump won, ha ha ha. It's whatever. It's still the same. It's just now attacking these little kids, whatnot, and not attacking men. Because like I said, once again, we men, we're lifting weights, we're ready. But I'm not gonna go there. But I will say that I think it's rather hilarious that you see this unique brand of straight up racism where people thought that, oh, it didn't exist, and now it's here, and folks don't know how to handle it. I mean, white people. don't know how to handle it. And when I say white people, I'm talking about quote unquote liberals. They're like, oh, man, it's messed up. I mean, you know, you have, you know, people with good intentions who are like, wow, it's messed up. He could say all this evil stuff and boom, we don't know what to do. It's like that awkward period. I'm assuming that it was sort of like this, like Revolutionary War right after the Revolution. Everybody was fighting for freedom. Everybody was all together, fighting together as one. And then all of a sudden, well, we're better than y'all. Get ready to get it. Mm-hmm. All I know is that I'm not getting it. But that's an argument for another segment. I'm going on break. This is LL Cool J. MISSI. Don't ask me what it means, because I don't know. But Miss I. LL Cool J.
Sushi, love paper like Ricky, love Lucy, pop collars, L got heat, 15 years, I'm thorough on the street, flood the rap game with product, that bullshit video, I don't know why you shot it, the biggest L of them all, holler to Hollywood and I still play the wall, y'all get the balls, motherfucker, Duke fold like singles, bass from my joint, make it flitter and tingle, that's my worst grand, stupid ass in the club, buy a bitch a drink, now you falling in love. I gave y'all the love game, you thought it was soft. Now you whining like a bitch over some fraud you lost. Playboy bunny got you feeling all crummy. Y'all niggas want the honey, all we want is the money. Down in Georgetown, fucking with the Hoyas. Looking for a dark skinned chocolate chick. Bow legged with a perm and the ass is thick. Black of the berry, well, you know the rest. She got the most rhythm, she ride the best. Talking midnight black, nappy hair with peas in the back. Scratch my pipe up every time I hit that. She don't look Hawaiian, she not Puerto Rican. No disrespect, mommy, but tonight, L creeping with the darkest honey I could find. Can't hit a light skinned dime all the time. Get your black ass over here, you out your mind? I turn Holly Berry down for you anytime. Black queen, dark and lovely, sipping on my bubbly. First you gotta love yourself, then you can love me. I wanna hug ya. Light skin, I pimp y'all too. When I cruise through your hood, girl, what you gonna do? I heard only pretty boys get to run with you. Topless in my six now, is that really true? Baby, look at you, the whole yellow crew. Cute baby face, but look what you about to do. See what's name, Mashari, El Cibu cool. With my joint up in her mouth, she like, sweet French too. Come on.
Your host, Mr. F the N word. That was LL Cool J. M I, crooked letter I. Think he wants to hump that. He wants to hump something. He probably hump. album, touching that Wilt Chamberlain record, but just on the low. Because real dudes don't sit up here and talk about how many people you done it with. It's like, Wilt, like, yeah, 20,000 women. It's like, you was counting? Anyway. 347-826-7435. 347-826-7435. SmoothDrama@smoothdrama.com. I want to talk to you. Anyway. Groundhog Day. Saw this article about the officer testifying about killing Walter Scott. You know, jury of his peers, 11 white people and one black man. Slager said that I don't remember everything that happened. He said he thought Walter Scott was running for some reason, and he felt he was outmatched and going to lose the struggle. He then said Scott seized the taser and appeared ready to fire it. Yeah, Groundhog Day. Crying, talking about, going back 18 months later and looking at everything, things could have been different. I see him with a taser in his hand, and as I see him spinning around, that's the only thing I see, that taser in his hand. Yeah, he said he had been consumed by total fear before he opened fire and killed Walter Scott. Fear of the black man. Like I talked about, unfortunately, that fear that perpetrates and keeps going. And the Groundhog Day, where these goons can play on that fear, when it's just, hey, you just wanted to shoot a black dude. Traffic stop. Yeah. Groundhog Day. Now, I actually want to talk about something else. Now, there are folks who talk about the gay agenda. There's Professor Griff talks about, you know, the emasculation of black men in Hollywood. I mean, on YouTube, there's a plethora of videos, but I would definitely recommend Professor Griff first and foremost. Some of the information he has, it's mind-boggling, crazy, but kind of on point. But I want to talk about is, you know, I peruse so-called black journalists, journalism bloggers, whatnot, black voices in particular. I read an article on the Huffington Post where they were talking about, the article was why we are scared to talk about friendship, love between men. And when I first saw it, I couldn't stop laughing, right? Because I'm like, it's a woman who wrote it. it's not a man. It's a woman who wrote it. Like, well, men love men, but they wouldn't talk about it. Like, love is a forbidden word that they buried. It's like, no. And they go in the article, they talk about the fear we've created to talk about male intimacy is one of obstructionism. And its dialogue is dominated and limited by the homos and homosexuality and homoeroticism. And I'm quoting this article, the minute we see men loving men beyond the emotional threshold for which we've allowed, in a temporal realm extending beyond the 5-second hug, it is immediately a charge of sexuality. But our aversion to talking about love between men is more than homophobic. It's about a fear of love itself. No. I call bullshit. Ain't no men talking about fear of love. Look. You got people you love. You got people you don't love. Male, female. That includes family and friends. You know, I'm not afraid to say I love some of my male friends. I don't think it's an issue. We're not sitting around talking about our feelings for each other. Like, man, I love you, man. You know what? I love you too, man. It's understood. See, and it has nothing to do with obstructionism or men not able to express their feelings to one another. Hey, we're creatures who are built differently. Some people need to hear it. Some of us just off the actions. You know, because, I mean, people can say a lot of things. You can tell folks you love them every day, all day. But is it real? I mean, I was always taught that love was just something that you earned. But it's given, you don't have to necessarily say it. Now, I mean, I say it, and I mean, me and my son, we talk, and we end off the conversation, love you too. No biggie. And, you know, I have my friends. It's an understanding, and it's no talking about homoeroticism or any of that foolishness. No. But what I take from this article and the argument between it, I guess they're quote-unquote well-intentioned, where they want to talk about how men don't know how to express themselves and express love. And it's like, hey, dudes express love differently than females. So when I see a female writing, and no offense, talking about male love and how things can be misconstrued and can cause anxiety in relationships, obstructions to real feelings and things involving men, it's like, no, we are not creatures of the, I want to share my intimate feelings and talk about it to each other. I mean, oh, I got a few homies. We love one another and we talk about each other like there's nobody's business. If you were a fly on the wall for some of our conversations talking about each other, most folks would be like, damn, they hate each other. But it's just clowning. The love says you can do that comfortably. You can say whatever, and it's no big deal because it's all jokes. Because you got love for each other. So stuff that people who don't love one another would fall apart over, it's not an issue when you have love for someone. And I think that's what this article is missing. And you can have a conversation with someone, but see, people like this, they don't converse with folks with realistic points of view. I'm dissing because I don't understand this kind of logic. I mean, I understand, but I don't understand. Because quite honestly, the game is to be sold, not told. And if you got to go through all this to tell folks, you got to write articles how men should be able to express their feelings to one another, you're going too far. There's no cosmopolitan for men. We don't need to see no plethora of articles. I mean, that was what Playboy used to do, but at least Playboy had naked women that you can peruse the magazine, then read the article. I mean, that's what I heard, that Playboy had very, very well-written articles. But you open up the page and there was big, giant vagina in front. To make reading the article, like, you know what? Playboy, y'all, all right. Hustler, I mean, Hustler, not so much articles, interviews, whatever. But, I mean, the point is still, folks need to stay in their lane. People are going to be who they are. Forcing an agenda onto folks is how we got into this place in the first place. How we got into the mindset where people have to be a certain way. I reject that. As a revolutionary mind, I reject any and all things that try to put me in a box. I am out of the box. As LeBron James once told Kevin Love last year, don't try to fit in, fit out. I encourage all others to fit out. Conforming to the norms of society has gotten us where? Nowhere. Never will get us anywhere. So when folks try to tell us who we should be and how we should express ourselves, that's when I say, hey, there's something wrong with this picture. And on that note, I am Mr. F the N-Word, and this was another Smooth Drama production. I'm out, but I will see y'all again. Well, y'all will hear from me again really, really soon. Peace, love, and hair grease.
He is the host with the most, and he's rocking coast to coast smooth. She is the lady with her hands.
Where in the hell did you get your news from?
Drama.
Together you got
smooth.
Drama.